Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition, a big edition of Star Wars Ranked. I am here with a guest, a big guest. It is Joseph Scrimshaw. Sir, welcome to the Star Wars Ranked. We should have already have done.
I'm happy to be here and to be big.
You are big, sir. Here's what we're doing today, kids. Best Darth Vader lines. Oh, wow. We've been having a lot of fun. Leia, Palpatine, more on the way. Star Wars Ranked. We're coming up on our 100th episode of Star Wars Ranked. We'll see what we got for that, but we've done a lot of weird ones, a lot of fun ones. We've done things on the surface. We've gone deep into the themes, and we've done the themes where I miss doing. I might do more of the Star Wars rank where we form a team, pick 5 characters, and go out on a mission. I like all that kind of stuff. But sitting down and kind of ranking the reasons we watch Star Wars, the characters that pull us in, has been a lot of fun. And Darth Vader. Definitely on the list. No doubt Darth Vader is a popular character and a loved character, which is odd. And we're going to go into that. But I get it. Joseph, we are going to induct 2 lines into the Hall of Fame here, the Star Wars Ranked Hall of Fame. But let's just talk about Vader overall, your feelings on the good Darth.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the reason that it's exciting to do the best lines, because, you know, we've done some recent stuff, we've done just like best moments, and mm-hmm. there's something about lines. Vader is a character. You can talk about, you know, his great thematic journey, the difference between Vader and Anakin, how much of the truth is that Anakin was entirely killed versus subsumed, all these great ideas, all these great moments. Vader is, of course, this imposing, great, unstoppable figure of the dark side. He's a pop culture icon. And then on top of all of that, he's just shockingly quotable. Like, some of his lines are, as we're going to discuss, are like incredibly powerful and meaningful. Some of them are just like, well, that's a vicious burn, Vader. And even more are just, there's something about them that I've had this experience, and I assume I'm not alone, that my years and years of watching the original trilogy in particular, just the rhythms and the tone of his lines are just extremely memorable and quotable and come up in moments of your life, moments of my life that I never expected them to. Like at one point when I was working at Kinko's, somebody named Hugh got a promotion, and you know, I started saying it, and then my manager started saying it of, "Hugh is your master now." Not, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward line. It's meaningful in the story, but it's not like, that's a quotable line. There's just something about the rhythm and the power of Vader's spoken words that just really resonates with me and pops up in surprising ways in my life.
Going to be a great discussion. Yeah, quotable indeed. I don't know. It's like, look, I love my Young Guns and Young Guns 2 quotes, and I'm often quoting Billy the Kid, an outlaw. You know, it's just, I get it. And the love of the Empire, having the cooler toys. Vader looks cool. The cool line. James Earl Jones. Let's not forget. It's a factor. Just his voice is the way he just rolls some syllables around in his great voice there. All factors in to the conversation here. I will, you know, ground rules for this. We really didn't discuss it, but I think you and I kind of had the same thoughts. He is Darth Vader from the henceforth moment up until I think he takes the action against the Emperor right then and there. You know, it roundabout sort of way. The stuff with Sebastian Shaw, you know, it's a weird tweener area. He's Vader. He's having some thoughts as Vader, but he has returned to Anakin to me in that level. I don't think there's a great super like cutoff or needs to be a cutoff point, but I think we played around within the same ground rules, right?
Oh yeah. For me, this was Vader lines, not Anakin lines. I think the exact moment that he becomes Vader is a great debate, great discussion, and I think we should have it sometimes. And I think the exact moment that he returns is also a fun discussion. But for me, from my take, yeah, no, everything on the Death Star 2 when he is asking for the helmet to be taken off, that to me is a fan, that is Anakin Skywalker. So that was off my list of possibilities.
Same. So we just want to put that out there. But all right, let's induct two lines into the Star Wars Ranked Hall of Fame. We do this every so often when we just feel the discussion kind of demands we have these lines, or the Millennium Falcon, or Han's Blaster, some of the things we've inducted in the past. It needs to have it, but it's just so iconic that, of course, we discuss it. We want to approach it a little different area and kind of give ourselves the room. So because of that, we're putting two lines into the Hall of Fame. We'll start with kind of the lighthearted one first, if I will. And that is impressive, most impressive. It's so great. It's so quotable. It can be used so many different ways outside of Star Wars in real life. And I still to this day hear it more than any other Darth Vader line, just from friends, you know, at a restaurant, you order a sandwich, your friends look at your sandwich and say, "Impressive, most impressive." Or for me, "How fast I eat the sandwich." So that's our first one, Joseph. Impressive, most impressive. What's your thoughts on this impressive line?
Yeah, I love it in the context of the movie because it's a pretty quick reversal of like it sets up so much that Vader is sussing out like exactly how powerful is my son? How much of a threat to the Emperor is he really? And, it, you know, he goes fast from all too easy. Perhaps you're not as strong as the Emperor thought, to like, "Oh, you got out of there. Impressive. Most impressive." And like, so his opinion changes out loud pretty quick about his own son.
And I kind of think he's definitely saying it to Luke, but I also think he's just kind of saying it to himself.
Oh yeah, he's kind of talking out loud. There's this weird, you know, to kind of have a sense of humor about it. It's almost like, you know, a dad in the baseball stands watching his kid do Little League.
Yeah.
And going, ah, well, maybe he sucks. Oh, impressive. Most impressive. Yeah, and same thing for me. It is just, I think it is, it's interesting. It has value in the story, absolutely. But it's one of those lines that there's just, it's just the delivery of it that sticks in your head. And the tone of impressive then, most impressive, is just such a bad guy line. And Vader walks that line of sometimes his perspective is really clear and it's character, but some of it is also just like, I am a villain and I speak with authority. Impressive, most impressive, my friends back in Minneapolis in particular used for just about anything, but particularly our endless hours of Super Smash Brothers Melee when you killed someone as particularly in a spectacular way. You know, if for people who've played that game, when you've got a character who's up to like 500% damage and is ready to pop and you hit them and they just go flying off the level, then everybody would always say, impressive, most impressive.
Gosh, the other use, I mean, you could, yeah, I wish I should just do a chart of my life every time I use it and where it goes in. And do you like it when it pops back up again? Anakin says it at one point, I believe, when the Clone Wars, right?
Yeah,
it or uses a version of it. Do you like the reuse of it there? That thinking that it's just we all kind of have our own little personal catchphrases or words we use a lot or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, do you like that it's in his repertoire of sayings?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really delicate balance, but I do like the little things that connect Anakin and Vader clearly. Mm-hmm. Just image-wise, I love any shot of Anakin where he's looking out at the horizon or through a window and he's got his hands clasped behind his back, you know, and looks like, oh, that's Anakin. Yeah. And it looks like a Jedi pondering something, but it's also Vader. There's something about the impressive, most impressive that does work for me that doesn't feel too on the nose of a callback.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's a fine line, of course, but yeah, if they kept bringing it back, if it was just all right, Anakin, we get it. You get it. You like saying it. No, it works for me just layering in and connecting them there. So impressive. Most impressive goes in the Star Wars ranked Hall of Fame along with the one. Yes, we would have to include it here. It is. No, I am your father. This is the line. Anyone who doesn't know Darth Vader knows this line or a version of this line. But we have to put it in, right, sir? It's the line. It's the T-shirt.
Yeah. Outside of May the Force Be With You, maybe the most famous Star Wars line, right? I mean, one of the most famous ideas, one of the most famous reveals in pop culture gets quoted just for that. Gets, you know, quoted in lists of like spoilers, you know, of Rosebud is the sled. Luke, I am your father. And in that pantheon of famous, slightly misquoted movie lines of, You know, they never actually say play it again, Sam. He doesn't say, Luke, I am your father. He says, no, I am your father. So if nothing else, we have to include it to really set the record straight that it's no, I am your father.
Yeah, and you just kind of said it the way you said it there. It's you know, delivered so well. And props to David Prowse playing an entirely different line, which I believe is something like, no, I killed him or I killed
him. Obi-Wan killed him, I believe.
That's right. Prowse has the gusto behind it, but James Earl Jones just the reading of it is just pitch perfect, just so confident, and it is a reveal. It's a template of how to reveal key information. No, slight pause. I am your father. What? Yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you do it.
The dark side doesn't say yes and. The dark side says no and.
And I got to think, you know, Vader's, he's figuring out how to, you know, he's been pursuing Luke for a while or whoever Luke was. And in the comics have gone into that now in modern canon. I think there's some great stuff in there. But I like that in my head canon that Vader's kind of waiting for this moment. He's been practicing this speech a little bit. Like, how do I say it? How do I say it? I'll tee him up and then I'll respond with, no, I am your father. So I like it in my world.
Yeah. No, we had a great talk about Obi-Wan going, playing this out in his mind. And this does feel like the, you know, Vader's been thinking like, well, maybe I will just bring him to the Emperor. Maybe if he is strong enough, maybe I can turn him and we can, you know, do the old Sith tradition and get rid of the Emperor. And you know, he really makes that decision and he goes for it of like, nope, I'm going to tell you the truth.
I'm going to tell you the truth. So there you go. No, I am your father in the Star Wars ranked Hall of Fame. Impressive, most impressive in the Hall of Fame. They deserve their spot there. They are great Darth Vader lines. So we are going to dig a little deeper. We each have five and scrolling here. A lot of honorable mentions, but we'll run through those a little bit so we're not here for 7 hours. But it was hard. It's hard. I mean, I just was watching every line. Luckily, on YouTube, there's a lot of supercut videos. And you're like, but that one. Oh, now I have 17 from A New Hope. I got to spread it around. So here's where we're going. Let's begin 5-1, sir, with your number five.
I hate to do this, but can I throw in one more honorable mention?
Well, yeah. I mean,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I couldn't decide where to put it. If it should be my number five, my number one, it should be my runner up, but I felt like it needed to be there as a line. And that is Vader's breath.
So we're just, okay. We're putting that one in the Hall of Fame too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think that one has to be Hall of Fame to me because it, for me, it goes up there with being as iconic as No, I Am Your Father. Because there's so many amazing scenes with Vader and like, what does he say? He says, Hoopa. That's his line. So for me, it was like it's more powerful than an honorable mention. It isn't a line, but it is a line. So I think it needs to be in the Hall of Honor.
I believe it does. Looking at that Revenge of the Sith moment, that so beautiful with the mask coming down and the silence, and that's the first thing you hear. It's the line. It is a line. It is a way of communicating what's going on, and it's a. It's a stony non-silence that is really effective.
It is. Yeah, that Aphra audio, that was some of the most effective parts where she would say something and you just hear the breathing like, well, that's his line. That's his answer. He's not saying anything else.
Just a blank stare, but instead he has the added bonus of the iron lung communicator. Yeah, absolutely. Darth Vader's breath. Let's put that in the Star Wars ranked Hall of Fame and honor indeed.
Excellent. I called it three things. It's a Hall of Fame and honor and sandwiches, you know.
It's all of it. Yeah, it's all of it. Great. All right. Well, now we're going to dive in with your number five.
My number five is having some fun of when I think he has become Vader. And it is a line from Revenge of the Sith. And it is a line that just sticks with me. And it is the line, you will try. This is, of course, the great standoff between Obi-Wan and Anakin, or rather Darth Vader, right before their actual fight. Where only Sith deal in absolutes, and Obi-Wan says, I will do what I must, which is a great Obi-Wan line because it is, he doesn't want to do this. It is his absolute responsibility. Anakin is his brother. Jedi, particularly Obi-Wan, he would rather be having a drink than having a fight, but this is the ultimate duty of a Jedi, of the Sith. Can't be reasoned with. They must be stopped. So he says, I will do what I must. And right out of the box, the Vader, this little baby Sith, starts off by being a jerk. And there's so many of Vader's lines that are snarky and jerky. And you can kind of look at them as there may be a tactic to undermine the opponent verbally, psychologically, as well as just being a cocky asshole. And it starts right away with, this is one of my favorite lines where Hayden Christensen sounds like James Earl Jones and it works. The pace of the delivery and the context of it, of Obi-Wan says, I will do what I must. And you're like, you will try. It's just kind of a good, subtle, overconfident burn.
Mm-hmm. Which definitely keeps in line with Vader. It's some power. Oddly enough, might fuel into some of this thing we're definitely going to be talking about in this episode of just like where you find yourself cheering for Vader, which you're like, yeah, oh yeah, you will try, Obi-Wan, you will, you know, and even though we kind of know what happens, you know, it's a great moment.
Yeah, just the absolute implied, but of course you will fail is, you know, comes across great. And it's one of those lines. I don't like this line to pop in my head because it's never in a good context. If I'm doubting somebody that much, I think you will try. You won't succeed, though, is implied by me saying you will try. But I love it. Really, it's a great Vader line before he's in the armor.
Yeah, no. And look, there's some great Vader moments marching into the temple. The 501st is a great moment. Yeah, no. And especially now, you know, we're doing the big Clone Wars rewatch and you're spending a lot of time with Anakin during that time and Matt Lanter's read on the character. And this is one of those moments that I can really almost hear Lanter saying it as well. It really yes. flows out of that cocksure, confident Jedi that falls. It tracks.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just love it. I had to start there at the beginning. You will try.
You will try. Well, let's roll on, but it's going to be hard for us. We will try, but we're going to do it. Number five, that's your number five. You will try. So we'll go to my number five. I have to scroll past all the honorable mentions to my list. All right. We're going to The Empire Strikes Back. And, you know, we're going to be talking about lines with depth, Joseph. We're going to be going into the character of Darth Vader, who he was, what he wants, his fears, his hopes, his dreams. And there's also just the cool stuff. I love when he says, regarding Admiral Ozzel, he is as clumsy as he is stupid. Followed up by General Papelia Men for a surface attack. I am not going to sit here trying to do James Earl Jones' voice throughout this. You and I, any Star Wars fan, you can slip into not just impressions, but the attitude. You know, I love kind of capturing the attitude of Lando. I love a lot of his lines, even Carrie Fisher, you know, just the someone's got to save our skins. Like, I love just the aura of these characters. And there was a couple other ones I almost put in this spot. And then I came to this and I'm like, no, I have said this so many times and misquoted it too, because I always bumble Star Wars quotes, but General, prepare your men for a surface attack. And it just rolls out of his mouth in such a memorable way. And then, you know, and we're going to talk about some of the stuff with Krennic later on and just that, but, and maybe a beat in that I don't like, but then I think about the stuff like this and I'm like, Vader's got some personality and opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And he is as clumsy as he is stupid. He's got some thoughts. I just love that he's not afraid to say him. He's not a robot. Yeah.
No, he's not a robot, as my grandmother used to say. He's sassy and he's angry. He's always angry. And that is like goes from like, I must slaughter everyone I see. And also like the damn coffee maker's not working today. Great technology. Like Vader has that attitude and that balance where he's got these great tough guy lines. And then he's got just kind of he's talking about the day to day of the Star Wars galaxy, you know, including the boy you're highlighting General, prepare your men for a surface attack, rolls off and still sounds, you know, scary and creepy and cool.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, the choice of James Earl Jones is so great and it worked out so well. And he's got the big booming voice, but this is a small line. And you know, I mean, it's not for the rebels. They're about ready to get attacked. But you know what I mean? Like, so sometimes I'll read the after stuff or hear Vader in other forms of media and think to myself, I don't know if Vader talks that much. I don't know, you know, he's a good economy of words with Vader. And this is one of those examples where I'm kind of like, well, no, he does talk about mundane stuff. Prepare your men for a surface attack. He's given an order. But he's also got a funny cutting, biting line. So he does do all of that. And it comes from Empire, comes from the original trilogy, but specifically Empire. There's a lot of these kind of moments. So it's a good runner for me. And then again, just on the playgrounds, as I wanted to make my friends laugh and not saying it was successful or it was funny, but just pay your men for a surface attack. I love it. So starting simple with my number five. Which means that we're going a little deeper with our Alyssa's. It rolls on to your number four.
My number four, I wanted to go a little bit outside the movies, and this one has stuck with me, and I think a lot of fans. It is from the Vader Down comic book, where Vader has been downed. He's crashed. Luke brought him down, and then he is surrounded by rebels who claim he's surrounded, and he says, "All I am surrounded by is fear. And dead men." It's a great tough guy line. And Vader does have lots of great tough guy lines, but there's always, almost always, an element of psychology to them where he is, before he lashes out with the Force, before he lashes out with his lightsaber, he's already undermining you by making you feel bad about yourself. Like, you know, that's why I really wanted to start with You Will Try, because this one is like a great tough guy line. All I'm surrounded by is fear. and dead men. But it's like, really, before I even start killing you, I want to know that you don't scare me in the slightest. In fact, you're scared and you're already dead. You just don't know it. Slaughtering you all is going to be kind of boring for me because you're not even remotely a challenge. It is both like a scary, tough guy, bad guy line, but it is this constant sort of psychological perspective of undermining your enemy and the fact that Vader knows about fear at this point in his career. He knows its importance to the dark side. He knows that it is a key vulnerability to undermining people who are trying to cling to the light. So for him to really weaponize that idea of fear against all these people, and also the sense that he's right. Mm-hmm. Everybody is terrified of Vader, and they're like, there's dozens of us all pointing blasters at him. How could he possibly? And they're still scared.
Yeah, that was going to be, that was my big takeaway from this too, of just like, at the end of the day, he's so right. He's tapped into the Force. He has some insight. He can search some feelings out there. And what a demoralizing moment. You know, we got him. Oh, we don't. We know we don't. Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, like Vader has weaknesses, but from the perspective of rebels like this, he is the boogeyman who can actually back it up. Like every terrifying thing you've heard about him is true, and you're dead.
And you're dead. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Good pull. Good pull from the comics. I wish, is there a cameo for James Earl Jones where you just have him?
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. So yeah, that is that. My number four, Surrounded by Fear and Dead Men.
I love that. We're going to my number four, and we are going to, all right. Okay. I'm getting cute too. I'm getting outside of the movies. I like that train. We're going to Rebels, season 2, episode 22, Twilight of the Apprentice 2. Look, Vader shows up in Rebels and it's really effective. I think the way they use him, the way he pops up, and even they reveal when he walks down, when Tarkin's like, oh, the Emperor sent something else. And Kallus is kind of got this, oh no. I really love the use of him in Rebels, but the stuff with him and Ahsoka is great. And there was almost some other lines from this fight that I included, but when he and Ahsoka are going back and forth, I just really like when he says Anakin Skywalker was weak. I destroyed him.
Mm.
And what I like about it is it's not, you don't have to go dig too deep into the story of Vader and the fall of Vader and Anakin to really understand that he's been in constant war with Anakin, the memory of the Anakin, the memory of the Jedi or whatever he refers to him as. And that it was a fight, and that Anakin's not done fighting. And even in this scene, even in this sequence, there's proof that Anakin is still there fighting whoever this monster is. But the fact that, I don't know, it's not so much the line that Vader probably believes it in this moment, or maybe Vader wants to believe, he needs to believe it. But I just love it as a statement as this 20 year plus journey as Vader, you know what I mean? Like it's just, and the battle between him and Anakin, it just sums it all up perfectly. What he thought, it's not exactly correct, but that's the view of it. And what is he referring to? What is he referring to when he says Anakin Skywalker was weak? This comes from a place of I'm Vader. I am the power. Anakin was not. But is it at any point, could he be also in his head in his darkest moments in that meditation chamber going, man, I wish Anakin was stronger and didn't turn. Instead, he was weak. Look where I am now. I don't think he necessarily means that in this moment, but in playing it out and stretching this throughout his life, I think this pops up again. We're going to be talking about some of the stuff that Vader maybe feels deep down inside. So anyways, I love this line of all the lines in it, because I do love the Ahsoka, which is almost counteracts this claim. The mask is cracked and it's Anakin almost calling us for Ahsoka in that moment. But then he immediately regathers and kind of wins again and is like, you know, all right, then you're going to die too, Ahsoka, if you stay here. So anyways, I just like that whole sequence. And this is the one that sticks with me. Anakin Skywalker was weak. I destroyed him.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you picked this one. There's so much there. I love how Vader is used in Rebels like you. I like that he is used sparingly, and I like that he is used as an overwhelming threat to be escaped for the most part for everyone but Ahsoka. really set the tone for how Vader is going to be used and talked about and followed through in Jedi Fallen Order and I think other places as well. I like him referring to Ahsoka as the apprentice or the apprentice a couple times. It puts her in this great place. Everything going on in this fight is so great that you get that sense that it builds to so many things and connects to so many things in the story of Vader, in the story of the dark side. Mm. It really adds to that idea that Luke is the one who could face him, who could destroy Vader either out of hate or compassion. And even Ahsoka, who is so close to Anakin, he is so far gone that like he recognizes her. There might be a flash. There might be something down there, but she's nowhere close to turning him, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's really powerful. And I think in that particular turn of phrase, Anakin Skywalker was weak. I destroyed him. There's the great just direct poetry with The Force Awakens, with Kylo saying about the same thing about Ben Solo to mm-hmm. Han.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that connection of that's the psychology that's used in the dark side. And you know, these were obviously generally kind of near one another in release, but it's interesting to think how much that was intentional or how much that is just the nature of the dark side, the way it's talked about. There's also like, I know I'm always on the lookout for ways to justify choices Obi-Wan Kenobi made, but it's interesting to hear Vader go basically, from my perspective, say, hey, you know, when Obi-Wan said, you know, the good man who was Anakin was destroyed by Vader, that's mm-hmm. his point of view. And people are like, that's shady, that's shifty, Obi-Wan. Like, well, Vader agrees with you.
Yeah.
At least Vader agrees that, yep, there are two different identities, and one of them is dead because I killed him.
Yeah, no, and to what you're saying about the dark side, and even to a lower level of the Empire, just the idea of Anakin Skywalker was weak, so that's not good, and I destroyed him, I destroyed, killed, dominated. Power, and just on simple terms, you don't have to dig deep to get it. It's just it tracks. I'm glad you brought up the Kylo Ben stuff too. It just that's part of it. And confirmation. Little justice for Obi-Wan.
Justice for Obi-Wan. That they were both thinking that same way, and you know, Luke's the one who had the insight to think something different. The weakness thing is fascinating to me too. Yeah, because like, what are we talking about? And to me, I think it is. I think it's about power. I think he needs to distance Anakin from himself because he needs to justify his choices, right? If he lets in too much of the truth and lets himself think about it from the perspective of, I was afraid of losing Padme, so I did all these things myself that caused me to lose her. He can't think about it that way, right? So it's got to be a failure on Anakin's part of being weak. And I think for him, it goes back to his mom. This is total, just for me, headcanon of getting inside what I think his perspective would be of, I had the power to save her. I could have gone back to Tatooine any time, and if she was ever in threat, I could have killed anybody in their path. I never had to lose anything, but I believed all these lies in that this idea of the light side being more important and holding yourself back. I believed all those lies because I was weak. Anakin was weak. I killed that guy. I'll take power. Power is to be taken. And, you know, nothing will ever hold me and my power back again, like Anakin did when he was so weak.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go, Ahsoka. Take that information. And on the off chance anyone's listening, and I know some people haven't taken the deep dives into Rebels. We're giving you a lot of information about it there, but we're not even capturing half of what the scene really does to you if you watch it. Rebels went there, went to some amazing places, and this is one of those sequences that really works. A lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
So that is my number four. We're up to your number three.
My number three is one of, for me, the classics. When I think of the original trilogy, as clumsy as he is, stupid, impressive, most impressive, I had to have one of the real, real classic series classics, original series classics. And for me, the one that lives in my heart is I Find Your Lack of Faith Disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
this is one that, like impressive, most impressive, can be used in conversations. You know, finding your lack of, you know, blank disturbing is a meme, right? Like, I find your lack of brownies disturbing. Yeah. Like, you can see a meme with anything kind of twisting this line. But what this line is, what its importance is, being in that first film of establishing personality from Vader. You know, that scene that really contextualizes the Force as something religious. It's, you know, called, you know, of faith. Yeah. And Vader starts the conversation by seeming to, you know, resent the Death Star of the technological terror. And that's what leads to the choking of Mahdi. All that would be there, and all that would be great and powerful. And I find your lack of faith disturbing is the frosting on the cake that really gives him personality of, yep, it is a scary, tough guy line to take something that sounds really peaceful and demure. Like, you know, it's a bummer that you can't see how important my faith is to me, and turn it into a line that you say while you're choking someone with your mind. There's that just kind of straightforward, cool, tough guy line. But there's that bit of that personality in that humor, and by kind of knowingly contrasting, I'm choking you to death while also going, it's kind of a bummer that you can't agree with me, dude. It's playing psychological games with everyone else in the room of like, you know how I can kill you with a thought, so don't question me, and I'll kind of drive it home with this snarky little joke.
Yeah, and Vader's relationship to the rest of the Empire is always fascinating to me, because it's different. I view it now different from when I was growing up, right? You just kind of, I mean, quite frankly, you think he's the number one on the team. Yeah, he's got a boss. He's going to show up in the third film. But you forget Tarkin, Tarkin's holding his leash, all those kind of comments. And this sequence is the way they treat him, not trying to create sympathy for this Dark Lord of the Sith, but this whole sequence, just him versus them, is an interesting dynamic, and that he's got the upper hand, but they still have the power over him sometimes, you know, over rank wise.
Tarkin tugs on his leash and he has to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, that's, yeah. Enough of this point is bigger. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so that's, yeah, you're right. I do love that line. And it's an iconic for its uses, like you said, outside of the films, but yeah, the layer it adds, the his beliefs and their attitudes towards that all it's just, anyways, I'm going to just keep repeating myself here, but it adds something to it. I'm glad you said that. It makes all that cool, choking, badass stuff have some deeper meaning.
Yeah, and I think it's really enjoyable as cool, choking badass who follows it up with a, you know, funny line. But I think this gets to what Lucas talks about a lot with Vader, he thought he didn't have freedom when he was weak Anakin Skywalker being held back by the Jedi, and now he thinks, I've got all this power. And like, yeah, you can just choke a person with your mind and you have no moral obligation. But you're still trapped because you're still in this system because you didn't actually free yourself. You put a leash around your neck and handed it to the Emperor, to the dark side. You're more imprisoned now than you were as Anakin, but you refuse to see it that way. And I think that's what Lucas is on about when he's like, you know, don't look up to him. Like, and that's endless fascinating Vader, because it is totally enjoyable as a badass moment. But the truth of the story is, you know, Tarkin barks Vader, release him, and he has to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, look. As a kid, I wanted the power to force choke my enemies. Of course.
Who doesn't?
Doesn't. But yeah, just there. It's on display. And the point is, and you said, well, it's like it's on display. It's built into it. Even back in 77, where maybe all the whole story wasn't flushed out, or Lucas had no idea we'd be talking about this in 2020 with such fervor and passion. But it's all there in the beginning. So good choice.
Yeah.
That's your number three, which means we're up to my number three, and we are going back to Empire Strikes Back. And I know this is a line you enjoy as well, going to the Emperor hologram conversation. And yes, I know there's a Yeah. Two versions or so of that out there. I get it. I get it. We're going to just kind of the special edition version, but this is present in the sequence, and I love it. And it is, if he could be turned, he would become a powerful ally. Now, this is kind of part of the discussion, Joseph, where we're not just doing iconic quotable quotes that can be on posters. This one could, and I suppose you could use this in a nice internet meme if you wanted to. But now we're really getting into, to me, the best Vader lines and what it shows about the character. What you know, and we've had that already on this list, but this isn't one that's going to be used at parties to impress your nerd friends. But this sequence and what we know then and what we know now with the story continued in the comics. And if y'all haven't taken a dive into the Star Wars mainline back in the day, I am so behind on some of the Marvel stuff now, I will admit. And I know there's some big Vader stuff happening right now as we're recording, but going back to the one where Boba Fett kind of discovers the identity of the rebel, and it's kind of this secret desire and mission for Vader. He's been, he's been at war with himself, but he's also in a cold war with his boss and has been working on it. So now there's a lot more subtext to this, but this is interesting because here's, his boss, his buddy, his mentor is just saying, cool. Your son's still alive. We're going to kill him. And for Vader in this moment, just be like, well, hold on here. And what it means, it's a stall tactic in one sense. Like, have you thought about this? Two, it's something I think he believes. It's a tip of the iceberg to the story in Vader's mind and his plan. And it's a sprinkling of, well, I don't know if I'm good with that. It's all of it into this kind of moment of like, if he could be turned, he would become a powerful ally, which also works as just a piece of strategy.
Yeah,
I like what that line means to the sequence and to Vader overall.
Yeah, and I think throughout Empire we start getting these just a little bit more nuanced delivery of the lines, and this is the line that has a lot of nuance of, he's really being deferential, right? What is thy bidding, my master? One of the most kind of formal lines in all of Star Wars, literally bowing down, and that it's literally said in a softer way, right?
Yes. Yeah.
If he could turn, he would become a powerful ally. Like, it's delivered with a little bit of an ellipsis. So there is this deference. But then when you look at it in, the current canon of 2020 with everything that's been built up, we know that that's this incredibly important moment where Vader's kind of floating. The Sith live by the rule of two forever. So we could accomplish what we have. We control everything. And now I'm just kind of throwing out there about my son. What if we just got rid of the rule of two? And you have to believe that, when Sheev Darth Sidious answers, yes, yes, that they're just knowing, they both know exactly what one another is saying, but they're not saying it out loud. Because Vader's like, just like, what if we tried to turn him? Which, of course, you must know that I would try to turn him. And then, of course, we would try to kill you. And Palpatine's like, yes, you could try to play that chess move. And maybe I'll kill you and keep him. Sure, let's play that game, buddy.
Yeah. It's like they're both flashing the Dooku scene from Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, no, well played. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the as Tyrion Lannister would say, you're in the great game now. They're playing here, and because again, with what we know now, the fact that Vader is just straight lying when he's like, "How is that possible?" I've never thought of that. When we know he's got some of this information already, I actually like that wrinkle. I like that the comic series back in the day. I say back in the day because it was 2015, 2014, 2016 range. Just I like that it did that. It makes this scene even more fun for me.
Yeah. And we so explicitly know that he knew, and he knew for a long time. But I always liked in the original film too that just starting with the crawl of that Vader is obsessed with Luke always for me gave it that tone that he knows, and that he's always even before the special edition. I think instinctually took that as he's going, what? How could that be?
Explain more. Hey, maybe we could join the team. We'll make him like a general or something. That's all. That's all I want with him. Oh, yeah. I love their relationship because it's so bad. So if he could be turned, he would become a powerful ally is my number three, which means we're up to your number two.
My number two, we're in the same general territory of what we're discussing. It's from Empire Strikes Back. It is probably my favorite. It's hard to say. It's really up there for my very favorite delivery of Vader. And it is Luke walks into the carbon freezing chamber. He looks at his blaster and senses the blaster has no business in what's about to happen here. And he hears the voice of his father say, "The Force is with you, young Skywalker. But you are not a Jedi yet." And partially, I just love it. And I've always loved it because of the absolute nuance and flavor in that delivery. Kudos to James Earl Jones. Kudos to Irvin Kershner for that direction to get that power out of it. So a huge amount of the power is just the delivery of "The Force is with you, young Skywalker." That sounds, it's ominous. It's good. Sounds like Vader, but that you are not a Jedi yet. Almost being whispered. Just makes it land, you know, even harder. That's it goes back to that, I find your lack of faith disturbing. Beyond a couple of notable exceptions, Vader doesn't yell, you know, he yells with his actions. So that whisper is even more scary kind of thing. And I've come to appreciate that line even more. I love that scene. I love the ambiance. I love just looking up at this just dark figure. But, you know, what he's really saying, the beats of Luke's journey in the original trilogy are so clear, starting with Obi-Wan dangling the idea of you're already similar to your father. You could be a Jedi like him, to Luke literally committing, I want to be a Jedi like my father, to repeating that to Yoda earlier in Empire, to, you know, ultimately completing his arc by proudly stating, I am a Jedi like my father before me. His journey and his desire to be a Jedi are so tied up in following his father's footsteps. And so Vader, to underline it in this moment for us as an audience, is really effective to say he's striving, but he's not there. He's learned a lot, but he's not, you know, at the power level he needs to be to face you. And he has not completed this both, you know, technical skill and moral journey to become a Jedi. But then just going back to Vader's sort of psychology of, I think what he's sensing is true. He's sensing that Luke is powerful, but that Luke is a little unsure, that he feels fear, but he's controlling it, as he says later. But he also just senses that, like, you're not done. You're not all the way ready. So before we even cross blades, I'm going to start by just reminding you, you're strong, but you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what's going on. You have not completed your journey. You are not living up to this idealized version of your father that lives in your head. You have not ignited your blade yet, but you've already failed, dude.
Yeah. All I am is surrounded by fear and dead Luke's same vibe. and there's a lot with Luke. Luke kind of like, am I a Jedi yet? Am I a Jedi yet? Even in Return of the Jedi, like, oh, then I am the last of the Jedi. No, you're not yet. You're not a Jedi yet. There's just like running this runner of and which all leads and falls and fuels the one of the greatest moments in the series of throwing down the blade and I'm a Jedi like my father before me. That's powerful when you play, even more powerful when you play it against this moment here.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just such a great, you know, pillar in to support this whole arc of when is Luke a Jedi?
You're not a Jedi yet. And, you know, in terms of just straight delivery and how it sticks with you from an early age on, yeah, you're absolutely right. It works on so many levels. And it's a fun one to just whisper. It's an almost Darth Vader ASMR video here. Great one.
You're not a Jedi yet.
It's just iconic. That term we all love throwing around every now and then when we're talking about movies, but it is exactly what it feels to be. One of just the most iconic moments in Star Wars.
Yeah. So that's my number two.
That's a good one. That could have even been number one. I mean, so I'm going to Return of the Jedi. This is I'm doing the old Scrimshaw two pack thing here. I'm putting some figures together. All right. If you allow it, going to Return of the Jedi in a great scene that you and I reference a lot, and maybe one day we'll do that Force Center scene by scene of Luke turning himself into Darth Vader, and great sequence there. But I just really love Vader saying, Obi-Wan once thought as you do. You do not know the power of the dark side. I must obey my master. And about a beat or two later says, it's too late for me, my son. So we've got this bluster. We've got New Hope. Vader is the villain of a lifetime. He's on magazines. He's on Time magazine, and we love him, and we're starting to worship him. The cult of Vader has emerged, and now here you are, just with this powerful, powerful villain that Luke is going to go confront, and the thought is still destroy by the people around him, right? Some of those ghosts in his life are like, now you're ready. Go face him and destroy him there. And I know there's more nuance and conversations to be had about that, but that's what Luke's doing. And he's going, he's telling Leia the big reveal, and he's going to destiny, man. It's still kind of Luke going, I'm going to be a Jedi. I'm going to be a great warrior. And I've got the speech. It reminds me a little bit. I mean, maybe a lot of bit, but a little bit again of some of the stuff with Rey showing up. And we must destroy Kylo Ren in the First Order is bad. And here is your lightsaber. Please go help me to fight the battle. And no. And here you got Luke. Like, I'll tell you what. I feel good in you. Huh? 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 It's too late for me, my son. Damn it. It's just like, this is harder. And that's for those two's relationship. But then just, it's the first time just you feel for Vader. You do feel sad. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to hear him say that. And now, and I did see this recently on Twitter. I can't remember. A lot of people jumped into the conversation. So I don't know where it originated, but it's a thought been around for years, but it just really kind of popped back up in the Star Wars conversation recently of just maybe as a kid, when you hear this, you hear it differently. You don't know the power of the dark side. I must obey my master. But really when you listen to what he's saying, that's so sad. It's like, he's, you don't know the power. I have no choice. It's too late for me. And Obi-Wan once thought as you did, maybe not the right time to discuss it. I think that it refers to something we haven't seen. I just think I am a believer that does, even here, it's hard to connect it directly to A New Hope for me. That it's something else that, you know, I think you could, and we grew up thinking that, and it's fine if it stops there, but you know, I don't going to A New Hope. I don't think there's a lot of, Obi-Wan going, you know, Hey, you want to switch sides? So,
yeah, you mean in Revenge of the Sith or in his?
No, I'm talking in A New Hope. I'm talking, definitely Sith too. Yeah, I'm talking about, yeah. So I guess you could actually say both. I think there's still that time, and I do believe in my heart the Kenobi series could possibly play around with that of any final kind of communications or conflict. Mm-hmm. I think this is a line that you can go to and go, yeah, there's something else to their story.
Long
monologue of why I love this line.
Oh, there's all those lines are great. It's a great moment in Vader's trajectory to discuss. And I totally agree with you. We'll see if that's what the Kenobi series ends up being. I'm ready to hope for it. And then if it doesn't happen, try to accept. Yeah. But yeah, from Kenobi's perspective of his absolute clarity that, look, Anakin is gone. He was my friend. He was my brother. I loved him, but he's gone. And that it's just that monster now, Vader. That absolute clarity to me always feels like there was something else that happened there. And so does this line on the other side as well. And that's going to be really, really powerful if we end up having a Kenobi story where he's like, I left him there burning. I didn't end him. I need to go face him, and I need to either end him or turn him back. I need to take responsibility. But if Kenobi goes to Vader the exact same way Luke is in this scene, saying, I don't want to fight you. I know there's good in you. And I still think it would be just amazingly powerful if Obi-Wan almost gets through to him, but doesn't. And that would make this line makes emotional tonal sense to me of, you know, Luke and Obi-Wan are very different because Obi-Wan is easy to blame. It's easy for Vader to hate Obi-Wan. You know, that whole chopping limbs off in fire, as well as being sort of a failure as a father figure, you know, insisting on being a brother instead of a father. There's also the whole limb removal burning thing. Easy to be angry at Obi-Wan. Less easy to be angry at his son, who, you know, looks and I think emotes some very very Padme energy that you can definitely see his mother in Luke as well as his father. So that it's powerful for Vader. If Obi-Wan tried this, it didn't work. Obi-Wan became convinced that he just needs to die, sadly, because he's just a monster.
Yeah,
and then his loving son Luke comes in. And he gets a slightly softer Vader, right? Of Obi-Wan once thought as you did. Seems kind of, he's laying it out that like Obi-Wan once thought as you did, and clearly he's wrong, but it sounds sad, right? Mm-hmm. And then to follow up with the lines that you're talking about, particularly there's such surprising gentle nature in "It is too late for me, my son." And like everything we're talking about of he thinks that's the trap of the dark side. You think it's freedom. You think it's just embrace power. But, you know, when your power is only accessible by locking yourself into constant anger, you know, you feel trapped by it. You're trapped in this vicious circle of your power comes from your anger and you're afraid to lose it. So that makes you mad. So you can never break out. And to see Vader in this moment going, I maybe recognize what I did to myself a little bit. But it's too late. The pull of the dark side is too powerful. I can't change it. Sorry, son. Neither can you. So I'm not thrilled about it. But that's just the way it is. Like this little step on the path to me.
Yeah, yeah. And at some level, Luke's got to be like, see, I knew it. It's there. It's still there. So that sets up their just epic, confrontation and you know. Throne room and Jedi's a lot of people, including my like favorite sequence in Star Wars. And this is some of the stuff that sets that up. So there you go. Obi-Wan once thought as you did, you don't know the power of the dark side. And play that against what he says that something similar in Empire too. And
if you only knew the power of the dark side. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could be kind of, if you want to get into Vader's head, maybe there's some same thought process going into that. But I think just to play the two moments, especially watching in 88-83, just like, yeah, the power. Oh, man, you don't know the power. So bad. Yeah, I love that. So,
yeah,
there you go. My number two, which is a good time to stop, reset. We're going to come back and we got some honorable mentions and then our number one choices for the best Darth Vader lines. Stick around. This is Star Wars Minute.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right?
For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Hey, 4Center fans, don't forget 4Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4Center on YouTube. Check it out. Welcome back to Star Wars Ranked, episode 99 in this continuing series of ranking these space wars we love. Big 100 episode coming up. You know, I be honest with y'all, I'm trying to figure out what I want to make that be. But if you have any idea, feel free, tweet it in. Joseph Scrimshaw is here with me, and we are looking at the best Darth Vader lines. We are looking at lines that sometimes bleeds over into moments, for sure. And I think we're definitely getting to moments here. But as always, we have some honorable lines, some honorable mentions, Joseph. And we joke a lot. Hey, this is tough. And I legitimately just had lost track. I just was watching some of these lines and writing them down. Went like, no, I can't. So I got some, but what do you have?
Yeah, well, I will echo, because I think this is particularly difficult, because Vader saying anything is cool. Vader is saying like, I'm going to have the combination number 4 Taco Bell plate is cool. It's James Earl Jones' delivery is amazing, right? So some of the stuff that's not even like, that's not a significant line. I just like the way he says it. Yeah. It makes it really hard. I think you and I both had the same number one runner-up, right?
We do. It is, I mean, it could have been easily my favorite. It could have been on my list as number one. There's just not a lot of, it's not a veggie, it's a dessert.
Do you want to save it for the end of the honorable mentions then?
Sure. Yeah. Why don't you say, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll run through these relatively quick so we are not here until the next Star Wars film comes out on the big screen. I really like in A New Hope, you are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away! Because it is a couple moments in that scene, he's a little bit more, the anger's on the surface and he's yelling, you know? And you know, that's probably from we're developing the character and we're getting to that person who doesn't let the anger show too much in the voice, but in the actions. But I like early on when he's actually angry and yelling. And this one in particular, I like because it reveals that his dogma, his perspective that, hey, I'm in charge. This is my empire, not technically, but, you know, I'm acting like it's my empire and you're a traitor and the Rebel Alliance and is not the formal government. I am the government. I am the power and you're a traitor. Take her away. So I like the delivery. I like what it says about him. Also in A New Hope, it is a great line by itself. And then language changes, slang changes, so it starts to take on even more different and beautiful context. I love your powers are weak, old man.
Mm, yeah. I love that one, too.
Right? Because, I mean, back then, just, you know, weak might have been a little bit of a slang word, but not that same, like, oh, that's weak, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it really it has that feeling of being slightly out of context for a villain where he's like, your powers are not on fleek, old man.
Your powers are hella weak, old man.
Your powers are lame. So I always like that. And it's a true assessment of your powers are weak, old man. And I think it's true. And I think Obi-Wan knows it's true as well. Going to Rogue One, there's a lot of stuff that I do like, but I always really like Director Krennic. I think later in the scene, he says director, but he starts with the syllable Director Krennic, and then says, you seem unsettled. It moves by really fast, but you seem unsettled is so funny of like, you are standing in the middle of my strange techno-gothic castle of evil, perched over in like an actual waterfall of lava. You are in the middle of a platform with no rails, and then a huge door opened, and my just absolutely intimidating shadow consumed you. You seem unsettled. What's your problem, dude?
Everything okay?
Everything okay there? Yeah. You're right there, buddy. Are you scared by something? By the lava? By the lack of rails? Is it me?
I love it.
Yeah, so that's great. There's no reason other than for this, really, other than I like the line, there is no conflict. Just, you know, it's that back and forth battle between him and Luke in Return of the Jedi, but it's one that I think of often of there is no conflict. This one is a little bit outside the box, but it is, I wanted to cover the whole panorama of Vader. It is the line, inside your head, Rise of Skywalker, because I like, it's not technically Vader. It is Palpatine demonstrating that he has been all of the voices you have ever heard inside your head. But I still just really love that idea of calling up James Earl Jones, like, we got something for you. James Earl Jones is what? Inside your head. Is that it? Okay, weird. Got it. Right. but it's classic great Vader weight, great Vader oomph. And along those lines, my final one, because I could go on all day, so I'm going to cut myself off with this one, is a line that for me absolutely captures the mundane being turned into something surprisingly cool and memorable just by the delivery. And it is from Empire Strikes Back. Alert my Star Destroyer to prepare for my arrival. He makes his arrival like he's ordering a lift, and he makes it sound so damn cool, and it sticks in my head. Prepare for my arrival.
Those special editions bringing in cool stuff. Yeah, I was laughing at that line last night too. I love that you included that. It is so many syllables.
Yeah, I got to get using that one more often.
Just, yeah.
Alert my Uber to prepare for my arrival.
That's great. That's great. I know you have one more. We're going to sync that up here.
Yep.
I'll run that, run through some here. Going to A New Hope. Leave that to me. I like, again, it's not trying to do a James Earl Jones impression or a Vader impression, but just the rhythm of his lines just has never left me from seeing it in the 80s to now. Just leave that to me. By the same token, you talked about it, the lines, the lack of faith to serving. I love the "don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant to the power of the Force." That's a lot. That is a that is a potential mouth marble situation. And, you know, James Earl Jones famously a stutterer and all the stuff that he dealt with to be delivering that line so perfectly. The technological terror. It's a poem. It's a song. There's a melody in what's going on here. And I love that. I love that.
Yeah. And to give something that sounds like just a bunch of kind of jargon from a weird little B movie science fiction picture before you know that you are the icon, you are Vader, you are the pinnacle of pop culture. He didn't know that then, right? He's like, I got to say what and how fast? All right.
Yeah. Love that one there. By the same token, so you mentioned that we're so close on some of these moments, but I just have always loved because it's younger James Earl Jones, right? It's 77 James Earl Jones. Therefore, it's younger Vader. It's a little different, even though I know Rogue One, it sounds slightly older. I get it. Realities of real world. I just have always loved. I mean, I used to say this on the playground. Commander, tear this ship apart until you found those plans and bring me the passengers. I want them alive. He's just so pissed off. And a lot of it's just because of what Leia's been doing to him and saying to him. He's just like, I know everyone here's lying to me. And I'm sick of it. I love that moment.
Yeah. The yelling Vader's great.
Yeah. New Hope, you should not have come back, saying that to Obi-Wan. There again, too. What is he referring to? And yes, I know Lucas wrote that at a different time, but it exists. It exists in the Star Wars story. It exists. And I cannot hear that line and not think there's something else that we don't know in the story. So anyways, I love that one. This could have almost been in the Hall of Fame, but apology accepted, Captain Nita. I mean, this is where I go to Rogue One, and I don't like the, you know, don't choke on your aspirations line. Or do I? Because then I think of this one, and I'm like, no, Vader likes a good joke. he likes a good play.
Yeah. Apology accepted, Captain Nita. But to me, it's still like there's still some psychological terror because other people are around to hear this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not good. I'm altering the deal. Pray don't alter it further. Not only is it a classic line, but just, you know, speaks volumes of the Empire and Vader, of what they do. And Lando learning the lesson of when you make a deal with the devil. I've always loved, you know, perhaps I can find new ways to motivate them, talking to Jar Jar Rod there. And then going to Rogue One. So, yeah, a little moment, too. I really love, because especially if you fuel this or you know, this fuels the New Hope scenes around the conference room table. When he tells Krennic that its power to create problems has certainly been confirmed. I love that. Yes. Where it comes from Vader's point of view. If I hate this stupid thing, look at the problems. I have to have this stupid me. I was taking a bath. Now I have to come here.
Yeah, his hatred of the Death Star is great. I almost put that line in my main list because it gets kind of buried when he starts to rattle off some more businessy stuff, and it's a great snarky line of like, well, its power to cause problems has certainly been confirmed. It's a funny line.
It's funny line, and also, you know, it's proof that Vader's like Tarkin. This is Tarkin's thing, and Palpatine's listening to him, and you know, it's his place in the pecking order. It's a lot there. Final one for me. Going back to Rebels season 2, Twilight of the Apprentice, when he's talking to Ezra, and I think it reminds me of your Vader down line, but just the, you know, Ezra says, you know, I'm not afraid of you, and Vader shoots back, then you will die braver than most. I love it. It's just like, cool. All right, great. You think you have that? You're still going to die. I still got it.
Yeah, good for you. That's cool that you're not afraid. You're still going to die.
Yeah. And then the final one that it's shared between us. We have joked about it before on the show. It is perhaps the greatest Darth Vader line of all time. Here it is.
What?
That is
what?
Oh, that soundboard. And it's his final line in New Hope. It's a trivia question. I can only, to your point about James Earl Jones in the booth, I like, all right, cool. We're almost done, James. Here's the final line of the day. What am I going to say? I'm just going to say what? Over and over. What?
You know, when you put it that way, it almost sounds like he wasn't even delivering a line. It was just like somebody was yelling to him in the booth of like, we're getting sandwiches. What do you want? And he can't hear. He's like, I got the headphones on. What?
What?
Just
You you want corned beef, James? What?
Love it. I love it. And it has to be included. It has to be. Is there not a t-shirt of that yet either? We're giving away t-shirt gold here. Just what? Quotes around it. So those are our honorable mentions, some deep ones, some fun ones, all part of just growing up with Vader. The cult of Vader is powerful. We can fall for it. We can worship this dark lord, but also there's some great stuff just from, watching these films. Yes, we love Darth Vader in a special way. But from there, we are going to go to our number ones. And usually here's the point where we do the switcheroo and all this, my number one first, because I always love to have the guest open and then close the show. But we talked about it, and Joseph, you had the idea. No, I think we should... flip that and reverse it because it will flow nicely, we hope, in the conversation. So we are going to go right now to your number one best line or lines of Darth Vader in Star Wars.
Yeah. So for me, as I often want to do with number one, partially just so I can get six in my list of five, I want to do some Star Wars poetry. And honestly, I was looking at both these lines and they came to my mind because of the delivery. And then as I sat with them, how much they connected and how important their connection is to me as a fan of Vader and a fan of Star Wars. So the first half of this Star Wars poetry is from Revenge of the Sith. It is Vader being lifted up on the table and asking, "Where is Padme? Is she safe? Is she all right?" It has such great power from just delivery. It's James Earl Jones back doing the voice, but it is hearing a very different Vader than we really got to hear in other movies, except for just the hints of "It is too late for me, my son." It's that delivery of "Where is Padme? Is she safe? Is she all right?" It shows that even after he has fallen to the dark side, and I believe he is Vader here, I believe that he has made his choices. He chose that he couldn't possibly lose Padme and hacked off Mace Windu's army. He has that moment of regret of "What have I done?" But he still marches into the temple and slaughters not only all the Jedi, but all the younglings. Padme tries to get through to him. Obi-Wan tries to get through to him, and he's just gone. But even though he's gone, he's still holding on to the reason that he did this is Padme. And that gives the line so much weight and power that we are reminded that even though he is consumed by darkness and has done unforgivable things to save Padme, that's still where his head is. That's still where his heart is. He wants to know if it worked, if I sacrificed all of this so that I could save Padme. And it's all right there in the line and in the delivery. So that's the first half of it. I was tempted to go with that as just my number one. But then one of my very favorite bits of delivery in all of the performance of Darth Vader is just the way he says "sister." And that whole speech has such power. So I'm just going to read the speech.
Yeah.
"Give yourself to the dark side. It is the only way you can save your friends. Yes, your thoughts betray you. Your feelings for them are strong, especially for sister. So you have a twin sister. Your feelings have now betrayed her too. Obi-Wan was wise to hide her from me. Now his failure is complete. If you will not turn to the dark side, then perhaps she will." And Luke screams and goes after his father. I wanted to pick this for a couple of reasons. Just the plain delivery on sister. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful, that revelation in the sinister way that he says it. I also really like the "now his failure, now Obi-Wan's failure is complete." Vader talks about lots of different things being complete, and this one's personal to him. He's got to hang up even after Obi-Wan is gone. He says Obi-Wan has trained you well, Obi-Wan can no longer help you, all those things, and now it's like he needs Obi-Wan to be a failure, and his failure is complete. But the reason that I wanted to share that whole speech and connect it back to "Where's Padme? Is she safe? Is she all right?" To me, this speech is the last true gasp of Vader winning out over Anakin. Because when you break it down, what's in it is so awful. He needs to win. He needs to turn Luke to the dark side. And he is aware enough of his own past that he knows the path to turn someone from the light is to threaten someone they love. They will give in to their fear. That fear of losing that person will lead them to hate. They will lash out and they will be consumed. How do I know that? Because that's what happened to me with Padme. So I know I can break my son doing that. In fact, the revelation that I have a daughter isn't about me at all. It's about how I can use it to break my son. It is so heartbreakingly evil that he is delighting in the fact that I got him. I know the way in to break my son because I know what that exact way that I was broken. And it's powerful for Vader's character because it is shockingly evil. And it is shockingly evil so close to his redemption. It's like, to me, that last moment that Vader, Vader, not Anakin, is truly in the driver's seat to have that horrible knowledge that this is how to break Luke, break my son, and to be so uncaring about his daughter in that moment is just a great power to the character of Vader. And for me, to this day, when I encounter people who have problems with the prequels, I get it. Everybody has a right to their opinions. But this bit of Star Wars poetry, the connection between the way Anakin ultimately fell to the dark side, and then that he uses that exact same horrific, painful threat of losing a loved one to try to do the same thing to his own son, and his son manages to overcome what he couldn't, that their path to the dark side is the same, is one of my favorite bits of Star Wars poetry that we could not have without the prequels. And this scene, everything in his redemption has always been strong, always been beautiful, but to me becomes even stronger when you see what connects Anakin and Luke.
Yeah, you're speaking my language here, and I'm speaking yours, and we're speaking the language of Star Wars, just celebration and engaging with what is there and engaging with the story presented, the statement you made that a while ago on a show that just keeps coming back up for the reason, because I think there's so many rewards for yourself when you do that as a fan. And I almost don't want to talk too much here. I'd love to hear more on what you got on this, because I think it flows in nice to what I've got at my number one. But I'll say this, the where is Padme? Is she safe? Is she all right? So I love that line now. And I was a let me tell you why it sucks guy. And we joke about how you get James Earl Jones back in the booth and he's saying inside your head or all this kind of stuff. I was so upset in 2005 that you had Anakin. I mentioned some of this stuff before here on Force Center. I totally get that. And I'll guess what? I'm going to mention it again in other episodes of other things. All right. But just to get to that point. And to, all right, you got the costume. Finally, we get something I'm familiar with. Vader, the costume of Vader. Hayden's in there, which we already knew from some featurettes kind of released before or whatever. You get James Earl Jones back. Yeah, we might never hear this again. And he's asking about Padme. How dare you, George? How dare you do that? I was so upset. So upset. And now it's one of my favorites because a lot of the stuff you're talking about, that poetry that we can make fun of. And guess what? Teasing George about poetry is totally fine. It's a thing. I get it. But it's there. It's in the story and it's powerful and it works for a reason. And these two lines, they work in concert. They really do work in concert.
Yeah. 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 The last thing I'll say about it, because I think we should segue to yours, is I think the way Lucas talks and seems to think about Vader as a prison, I think really pops in both these lines. And that's why I like the Where's Padme, because it, from our original trilogy perspective, where some of us did want to see, oh, it'd be great if for half the movie he's Vader and he's slaughtering Jedi. And like, that's not, he doesn't get to do anything cool. The moment he becomes Vader, he realizes he's in prison without his wife. He realizes he screwed himself. That's the first thing that he says, you know, that he's in prison. And then, you know, years later, he's imprisoning himself in the dark side. The news that he has a daughter, the news that there's a part of himself and Padme, even beyond Luke in this galaxy, should be the most joyful thing that he could possibly hear. And he can't see that in that moment because he's consumed by his own anger and his own need to break Luke. And they're both pictures of this very sad prison, of what a sad thing it is to be Vader, even though we as the audience get to enjoy him as this unstoppable monster. And that is cool and it is enjoyable. And I don't take any of that away. But the real core storytelling, the real core emotional truth is it's a prison.
Yeah. I love the Rogue One hallway scene. It's a horror film. And I love it. It's Darth Vader being Darth Vader. I love it. But that means nothing to me without these things, you know?
Yeah.
So my number one, I'm doing it, friends. I'm going there. My number one choice for the best Darth Vader line is a two-pack as well. And it's so funny. When we submitted these notes to each other, we were right here at our number ones, went to the same spot, different moments. I am doing it. I'm going, no. I'm going Revenge of the Sith. No, and I'm going the add-on, much talked about, much loathed, much hated, no, in the throne room scene in Jedi. And this is somewhat recent for me to do it, because everything you're saying with the Padme and Leia stuff is so powerful, and I love it. I just love it, because it is, the sister line has stayed with me since I saw it in the theater in May of 1983 and all that stuff. But here's where I'm at with it. I think I'm one of the people that George was speaking about who missed it. I really am. And I'm speaking for myself. I'm not speaking or speaking at anyone out there. I had going to what I said about the Padme stuff, and it's made worse by this Frankenstein moment. And I will admit, he's clunky. He's learning to walk on the feet, by the way. All right. There's probably a real world explanation for that. It's a horror. It's a gothic horror moment. I mean, think of it. It is a Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster. It really is. And it's raining and it's lightning, and you got Padme in the birth, and it's this great scene, and you got the helmet coming down. And I get it. The last thing we hear, we see a little more Vader later on, looking at the frame of the Death Star, but no, and it's over the top and it's dramatic, and Revenge of the Sith has a lot of over the top dramatic moments, power, unlimited power. I get it. So I hated that. I talk about that for years. I talk about it. And then George comes back, and my favorite sequence, because of that line that you're talking about, the sister speech, and because of all the things in the music, it's my favorite shot in Star Wars, Luke jumping out to defend like a Jedi, but doing it with hate or fear and anger, and what he has to learn, all that. And then for George to make the Ewoks blink and then add no. So again, I was like, I'm trying to defend you, George. What are you doing here? But I think it hit me hit me very recently on a rewatch of Return of the Jedi. It is George going, I think some of you still haven't got it. Let me talk to you about what Darth Vader went through and how he fell. And I always say, what did I envision of his fall? When I walked away disappointed in Padme, where is Padme? Is she safe? And no. And I was upset at that. What, I guess I wanted a conquering hero to pull out his red blade and kill everybody, and me go, yeah, that's my Darth Vader. Was that what I wanted? Was I expecting? Did I miss the point if that was what I wanted? For him to be like, as you just so eloquently said, all the stuff, the lies he's been sold, Palpatine, Sidious pulling him in, and he emerges still in pain, a lot of pain. He can't even really walk. He's trapped. His eyes go big as the helmet comes down, and it's a beautiful moment. And he asks this question. And the reason he did this all is that she's dead. He's been hoodwinked on a level that's so powerful and so big. And that no comes from the gut. And for to go back and everything you're saying, and he just contributed to Luke being in this position. And he is, he didn't go, a sister, great, let's go turn. He doubles down on it. One last gasp for Darth Vader in the war against Anakin. And he's watching his son. And I always talk about that, the lightning bolts to the teeth get me every time with poor Luke. Even his teeth are getting it. And he's calling out father and all this stuff. Without dialogue, it still works. And I want to make that clear. Without dialogue, I get it. And I sometimes say, George, sometimes, you know, the Attack of the Clones, I truly deeply love you. Take away that dialogue, you probably have a more memorable scene for more people. So I can understand the criticisms. I can understand the YouTube think piece videos. But I think after a while, it's become hollow criticism for me. It is absolutely just the it is the It is the exclamation point on the poem, that the Star Wars poem we're all enjoying here, for him to go, I'm not doing this anymore, and I'm not watching my son die, and I've been trapped, and no, I am not letting this happen. And it was George going, do you get it? Do you see why you fell? Do you see the lessons? And are you going to stop worshiping the monster in the cape? And are you going to start cheering for the old broken man inside to get some redemption? That's what I see it as. That's why I love it. And I was moved by it the other day for the first time in my life on a level that I hadn't previously experienced. So that's what I'm going with. No.
I think that's a great, great speech and a great number one and a great reason for it. And I really agree with you. I think there's so much going on in Revenge of the Sith that I think people, I don't think it's that, I don't have any problem with Vader saying no. I get the, like, we transition from that's such a startling artsy shots of the mask coming down and the wine and the breath and the, where is Padme? Is she safe? Is she all right? Is a different tone for Vader. And then I think Lucas went for it. He went, that's a Frankenstein moment. That is a, this is, you know, a myth. This is a, you know, gothic horror, and this is awful. And it's a big, as you said, over the top. No, but I've come to really love it for what it is. And because he does need to express the absolute horror of, I did all of this to save her, and allegedly I killed her, but she's dead. She is gone, and I killed her, but I couldn't have. And the confusion and the anger and seeing everything burst around him and seeing Palpatine's little smile of knowing, like, yeah, I got him trapped forever. You know, he's got so much to be angry about, including he's always going to hate himself. Yeah. So I got him. I got him in a vice. He's, you know, even if he ever, you know, questions anything, he's never going to forgive himself for this. He's always going to be trapped in hate. And whatever you think of exactly the delivery of it, or if the Frankenstein dial is turned too high, I really respond to that emotional truth. And then going to the Return of the Jedi, it's just, that's just classic Lucas, right? That is, we sometimes talk about, like, he's a soft-spoken rebel in a flannel shirt. Yeah. And yeah. Oh, I know you guys all don't like it, the no in Revenge of the Sith. I know a lot of you don't like it when I mess with the movies. They're my movies.
Yeah.
And one more time before I sell it, this is one of the last changes he made. Mm-hmm. And for him to say, I want that poetry. I want the no at the end of Revenge of the Sith, which is just utter pain, utter horror at the prison I find myself in. I want to give voice to what is clear on film. Absolutely agree with you. It is clear that he is seeing his son in utter pain, and he is turning and just seeing this vicious, snarling, evil old wizard, and he just makes a decision. And I think there's something powerful that Lucas says, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I want to literally give voice to that, and I want it to rhyme with the other no. And there's a power to it. When I watch it, I think the first time I saw it, I was like, oh boy, here we go. And then I rewatched it, and it's like, I don't have any problem with the delivery. There's just that calm, quiet no, and then the bigger scream. And for me, there's a power in Vader is caught up in, he thinks he can't resist the power of the dark side. He can't break out of the cycle. It's like he's addicted to it. And there's this realization almost in the moment of, and this has been talked about a lot by Lucas and Filoni, like, it's not going to erase anything I did, but I can always make a different choice. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. I can just make a different choice. I've got two options in front of me, this snarling, hateful old wizard, or my son who just showed me mercy. And I can just make a choice. And for me, that first, that especially that first one, that just, no, it's like he's got this epiphany that he can do it. And I feel like that no for me is where Anakin returns. And it's not necessarily this huge battle. It's this just break of light in the darkness of, like, I can make a different choice. I can just let myself out of my cage. And I really like all those ideas. I think they are there in Return of the Jedi without the no. But I feel like the no literally gives it a voice, And I will always see that as that's literally the voice of Lucas, that these are his movies. He signed them away. He's got conflicted feelings about that. But just like Vader, he wants to have his voice, and his voice is going to say no.
Yeah. Yeah. End scene. End scene. It did. It well said. Move me. Story of Vader. And again, I think it's moving me even more recently. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking weeks and months. We're not talking like when I started doing Jedi Alliance, or you and I launched Force Center with Jen, all that kind of stuff. Like, this is like me just having looking at things, seeing it again for the first time. The joke you always make about the great special edition trailers, but just I was really affected by that 2005 interview of Lucas just saying, I realized y'all didn't get it. And it's like, yeah, no, you're not wrong. I was leading that charge for a while. Not that I, you know, I got it. I could talk about the big themes and but like, nah, I had some issues with things, but I always say, you know, what do you replace it with? What do you want to see? Like, say with Luke's death, like, okay, did you just want to see him get hacked to pieces by Kylo or on a Sky and X-Wing? Those are options. Or did you want to see him put himself on crate and die in this peaceful, purposeful way? You know, we all have different opinions and options, but for me, that's where I'm at with it. And no is the answer. No is the yes.
No is the yes. Yeah. It stays in the Vader canon of saying no to lots of things. No, and you got to go, Sheev. But yeah, it's a very positive no. I can just choose for this to not happen. And so great, so powerful. And yeah, I will second what you've said and what we said a couple times this episode, but I think is really important always for me to highlight. I really love these big ideas, these emotional truths. I think you can't not talk about them because you don't want to misinterpret some of the messages of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But I also just love Star Wars because it offers you a range of things. And I love the Vader hallway scene because that is true to his character. And that is something where it's part of the reason we tell stories, is it's safe, fascinating place to play around with the idea of evil and to say like, oh, it's so cool that he's so unstoppable. It's such a great power fantasy. Wow, if you had the power of Vader, would you handle it well or not? And he looks cool, and that blade is cool, and that breath of his is the most frightening thing ever. And I think it's great to enjoy it as entertainment, enjoy it as adventure, enjoy it as fantasy of the evil guy who can just tear apart a hallway through a good people. Mm-hmm. But there's also, you know, the emotional truth. And I think it's important to celebrate all of it.
Celebrate the complete Vader if you're going to celebrate Vader at all. And you have to, because he is definitely part of Star Wars and part of what made it so popular worldwide and continues to do so. Joseph, thank you so much for bringing your list and your insights and your thoughts on Darth Vader to this week's edition of Star Wars Ranked. Thank you.
Absolutely thrilled as always.
Hey, folks, if you want to join the conversation, you can follow us on Twitter. Go to Force Center Pod, use the hashtag Star Wars Rank. Share your favorite Vader line. You can like our Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Subscribe over there. You can buy merch, tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You can support us and get a free audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. Try an audiobook on us. Get, Lords of the Sith by Paul S. Kemp. You want some Vader stuff? There's some great Vader stuff in there as well. And finally, you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/Force Center. You can go to kennapsack.com to get information on all the things I do, including a big live event, live Riley's Cantina. Mark Riley's Star Wars show is going live, and I'll be a part of it. And a special appearance by the great Joseph Scrimshaw. Will he be doing a no monologue? So tickets are available through Ticketweb and Sean Healy Presents, but you can go to kennapsack.com in the events tab and link right to it. Show is October 10th, 7 p.m. live stream event. And for you, Sue, they can go, you, sir, you can go to josephscrimshaw.com for all your stuff. Yes.
That's right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw and my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for other podcasts, comedy albums, all that kind of stuff. And if you like weird fantasy comedy shows, you can check out Tigtone on Adult Swim midnight on Sundays.
Do it, my friends. Do it. All right, that's another line from another list. We'll see you next time. Star Wars has been ranked.